entertaining and informative.
This is Sid and Friends in the Morning.
77 WABC.
You guys know that my birthday is coming up in 9 days. Next Friday, April the 19th, is my birthday. It's my mom's birthday. I was born on my mom's birthday. She was 32. She'll be 89. I'll be 57. So my beautiful wife, Danielle, says to me last night, she goes, what do you want to go for your birthday? My daughter, Ava, turned 20 on Sunday. We took her to Peter Luger, you know. I said, what's the difference? She goes, what do you mean, what's the difference? It's your birthday. I said, well, what's the difference? She goes, what are you talking about? Well, what? I said, it doesn't matter where we go. Because no matter what we do the rest of our lives, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, what great restaurant, what beautiful country, it doesn't matter. Once you saw that eclipse on Tuesday night or Monday night, there's nothing else. That's it. That was life at its best. A cloud passed through the sun, causing millions to orgasm in the streets all over the country. What's the difference where we go eat for my birthday? We've already experienced the greatest thing in the history of life. And she said, stop it.
And get out of the house.
And get out of the house. You know, there's still people talking about this stupid thing today. Still.
Of course, because you just said it was the apex of life.
Rudy Giuliani, who is the greatest mayor of all time, and I love and respect him as much as anybody, should not be allowed to come out of his house ever again. I mean, ever. Anyway.
He's probably got lots of those sets of glasses all around.
I'm sure he does. Him and Agent Teddy, 90 pairs.
Agent Teddy. You left one over here.
So I watch The Five every day on Fox just for Jeanine Pirro. I mean that sincerely. I swear on my father's memory I mean that. Plus, she's great 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. Here she is, the great judge, Jeanine Pirro. Good morning, Jeanine. How are you?
Good morning. I got to tell you, I watched the eclipse. Okay. All right. It was like I looked at it. I put my glasses on. Then I took my glasses off and looked at it because it didn't look that amazing. And then when the moon covered the sun, it was still light in New York. So I'm like, is this a game?
But I have to tell you that if you badmouth the eclipse, you're better off. I mean this because I've gone through this on social media the last 2 days. They've clobbered me. You're better off badmouthing Jesus than the eclipse.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't do that. But I got to tell you, I don't really care. I don't even read social media. They can say whatever they want about me. I know who I am. I'm at the point in my life where, you know what, I'm good with myself. But, you know, it was great. Everybody was outside running around. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Thank God.
But, maybe.
Thank God. Thank God, Jeanine. See, I try to surround myself with like-minded, really smart, sane people, not crazy.
Maybe I'm not that smart. I mean, maybe I missed it. I don't know. You know,
well, smart.
It could be that I just didn't get it. But, you know, stop wasting my time talking about it. We had the build-up the day before, and then that whole day we're getting ready for it. And then that night we talk about it. And the next day, wasn't it great? What the heck was the big deal?
I mean, look, I've been watching this video for 2 days. I can't stop watching it because it's so grotesque of this poor lady going to church on a Sunday morning. And this animal, this black guy, I'm going to say black guy because Fox left it out. I'm not going to leave it out. This black guy running diagonally towards her, throws her down the stairs, steals her money, steals her car. And there is the mayor on Monday afternoon in his $5,000 suit and his glasses, chewing a piece of gum and staring at the sun, looking like a blind guy staring at a clock while this lady is in critical condition. I'm sorry. I'm not okay with that.
Well, you know, you are now, you know, entering my, my area where I have said from the beginning, Sid, that I am sick and tired of this mayor and his suits that are so tailored to fit him perfectly. I want him to take his jacket off, roll up his sleeves, and go to the crime scene of every New Yorker and the scene where people are being murdered or you know, are being victimized to the point where their life is forever changed and swear and promise that he's going to protect us. No, this guy is so caught up in the glamour of it all. It's pathetic. And spending the money and giving no bid contracts where the illegals are involved. I'm not impressed with the guy, Sid, and you have been, and, you know, I'm not going to argue with you about it. But in the end, he's got to remember Eric Adams was hired for this job and voted in as mayor because he was a cop. Because New York was fed up with de Blasio. New York wanted to come back after, you know, the pandemic. And what do we have? We have a guy who's going, you know, to Casa Cipriani every night. So, you know, so I'm fed up with it. This guy who assaulted this woman, it is horrible. And, you know, he's got to be put in jail. And I don't want to hear from any of them. And I want everyone who's listening to say, you know, to understand that this crime will continue, that criminals will be let out of jail, that illegals, and I think there should be a presumption that if you are illegal and if you are arrested, you've got to stay in jail. You've got no ties to the community. There is no bail for you if you're illegal and you're charged with a crime.
I would take it a step further and deport an illegal. But I tell you, in terms of Adams, look, I thought it would be a good idea to have a conservative voice in his ear. I gave him a chance. I'm exactly where you are right now. I'm exactly where you are. But yes, I did go to Casa Cipriani with him, and I did go to Wolfgang's with him, and we did talk, and I thought it would be a good idea. But as it turns out, he doesn't listen. I'm going to tell you something else. And you can bet all that money you're making at Fox on this, okay, Janine? This animal, when they arrest this animal today, tomorrow, whenever it is, I can promise you, it won't be his first arrest. I promise.
Oh, I get absolutely. It's not his first arrest. And how I'll one-up you. I'll bet he's already out on bail for something. Okay, on cashless bail. You know, it is. We are living in a barbaric, uncivilized world right now where you can victimize other people, shoot, stab, beat, brutalize them, and they let you out to do it again. So, you know, shame on us for allowing this to happen. Shame on us for listening to these progressive know-nothings who know nothing about crime but act like they do. And they've already proven that they're wrong, and we still let them in. And that's why we've got to make sure that, you know, Trump gets in office and that we put Republicans in. And it's not about politics. I wish the Democrats believed in locking people up when they commit a crime. I mean, it should be a human reaction. If you're raising a child, you tell the child no, and if the child keeps doing it, then there is a consequence. It is a fundamental truth in life. You've got to draw lines. If you don't draw the lines, people are just going to be a barbaric society. But I want to talk about the Crumleys. Okay, have you talked about them yet?
No, I have. I had Joe Tacopina on a while ago. It was 7:45, and we talked about it. And we talked about it leading up to the sentencing yesterday. How this was unprecedented to arrest the parents. And I'll say this before I get your opinion on it. Now that they did arrest them, which I'm fine with it. I'm even fine with the sentence. I wanted them to get as much as they possibly could. Now I'm starting to think, could we go back now and look at the parents of Klebold or Harris? You know, I know obviously that Adam Lanza killed his mother, but can we go back and arrest some of these other parents? Because these kids are home with guns and bombs and all this stuff, and these parents can't be that stupid.
Well, look, here's the thing. The whole idea of vicarious responsibility, where you hold a parent responsible for something the child has done, is evolving. And it's true, this is the first time it's been done in a mass shooting. But when I was DA, I held I believe it was a father, as I recall. I convicted him of manslaughter for allowing his child to take a gun and kill another child.
Oh, you did?
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. I was to the wall when I was DA. Everybody was accountable. But here's the point. The reason the Crumley case is so egregious, it's not just the issue of, you know, the evolving law where parents were testing the limits of parental responsibility. In this case, the parents bought the gun for the child after the child had said, you know, I hear voices, I see clothing, you know, flying in the air. I need help. I have to see a doctor. The kid begged his parents. He even wrote to a friend of his that I told my parents I need to see a doctor, and they didn't do anything. But instead, the parents got a gun. The parents gave the kid a gun. He draws a stick figure with blood around it and a gun in his math assignment, basically asking for help at school. School calls the parents And the parents say, well, you know, you can handle it, and they leave. The parents don't take him out of school. The kid is also suicidal. So this is about as egregious as it gets. This is horrific. And this is the one case where it is absolutely appropriate, where giving the kid a gun, knowing the kid has a mental health issue, knowing the kid is hearing voices, and instead simply just saying, okay, to the school, you know, whatever, and that day the kid has a gun in his backpack. Now, one of the questions that I was asked was, can the parents of the victims who were shot, can they sue the school? And you know what my response is?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Of course. You know why?
Although the schools generally wouldn't hold responsibility or liability for this, think about the Democrats. What have they been saying for the last 5 years? When the kids are in school, they're ours. We are in loco parentis. We are the ones who are the parents to these children. Well, you knew it. Why didn't you check that backpack? You knew he was suicidal. You knew he was drawing stick figures. You knew all of this, and yet you allowed him to stay in school and bring his backpack. So I think there is more coming from this, but we are now in a situation where parents have to be held responsible in egregious cases, not in every case, but in egregious cases.
That is well done. And by the way, I believe that Parkland and the school out in Texas have had lawsuits against them. I believe, I'm not 100% sure, Nicholas Cruz and this other animal, but I'd have to check that. Yeah, you know, I got a message talking about Joe Tacopina. I brought Tacopina on to talk about the Crumleys, but really something else. And I got a message from Judge Napolitano and Arthur Idala, Alan Dershowitz, and it goes to this. Donald Trump will be here Monday, unprecedented. President of the United States, criminal trial, complete nonsense. So they came out yesterday, Janine, and they made public the 42 questions that they're asking the Manhattan jury. And, you know, I make everything about myself. It's just what I do. That's why I'm number one. So question number 12 to the Trump Manhattan jury is, quote, do you listen to talk radio? If so, what station shows? And at least according to Napolitano, Tacopina, Idala, and Dershowitz, that is a question directed at me. It could be in any one of us, by the way. But he did admit to me, Trump, he listens to me in the mornings when he comes to New York. Do you think that's a bit much? What do you think, in all honesty, that the DA, or very least the judge, is aware of who in New York backs Donald Trump and who doesn't?
Okay, first of all, they could ask that question verbally. They could say, and when I was picking jurors, I would say, what's your favorite book? What periodicals do you read? What newspapers do you read? It's basically the same thing, but it's in writing. So the question is it targeted toward you? Yeah, if it's coming from the prosecution, absolutely. But here's the thing. That is not a basis for cause to be removed if they listen to you. So it would just be the entree for more questions. All right, Sid is number one in New York City. If you listen to talk radio, chances are you listen to Sid, okay, on WABC. But then the question is, you know, they have to go further and say, is it what he believes, is it everything you believe? Look, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's free press. It's not a basis for cause to remove someone from a jury. It's just the opportunity to ask more questions.
Wow.
And so then they could use a peremptory challenge, which is a challenge based upon the fact that I don't like the way you look. I want you off the jury. Okay. But not a challenge for cause. And you only have so many peremptories. So, but challenge for cause, it's not a basis, a challenge for cause. Now, I don't know how my fellow lawyers handled it or what they said, but I just think it is a decent question.
Is great. You just provided some incredible, all kidding aside, Janine, you know, I love you, but that's incredible insight. Well, let me get to the jury overall here, because again, this is a New York case coming up on Monday. We know the judge is no good. His daughter's no good. His wife is no good.
The daughter is making millions of dollars off of fundraising. This is unheard of. This is absurd. This is wrong. This is ugly. It's immoral.
Right. And then when Donald Trump tries to point that out, because it does directly affect his case, they want to slap a gag order on the poor bastard. So between the gag order and the idea, they're going to find a fair jury in New York? Is that possible?
It's not happening. Sid, it's not happening. I think the best that the president can do is try to get out the fact that this is not a, this is a case that's barred by the statute of limitations. This is a case that was rejected by the FEC, by the United States Attorney, by the former DA, by this DA, until some fool, I don't know what his name is, you know, left and wrote a book and said, Bragg won't prosecute Trump. I want to cry.
Pomerantz. His name was Pomerantz.
Mark Pomerantz.
Right.
I know him well. I just didn't want to trash him. Believe me, I know him well.
I know.
So Mark Pomerantz has a pissy fit, and he decides, you know, Bragg says, oh, let me charge Trump. So, yeah, it's going to be an easy pull for them in Manhattan. They'll do everything they can. And who's this guy, Colangelo, who moves from the Department of Justice to the federal cases, to the state cases? Look, the bottom line is this. America's in a hell of a mess. We've got people chanting death to America. We've got people knocking down 68-year-old women at churches, and they can't even say what he looks like. You know, we've got illegals going through the border, and they want to try Donald Trump for a non-crime that's barred by the statute of limitations. Let them have their fun, and let's have the last laugh in November. You know, I didn't want to get this charged up, but what is it, 9:15? I got a whole day ahead of me.
But you said something. I can't let you go. I can't, because you're great. Okay. But you just said something that I've been railing about all morning long, and maybe you heard me say it, maybe you didn't.
I didn't.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
All right. Lou, I want you to play this cut. It's the one that is isolated from Channel 5, the isolated cut, not the long cut, where this dopey reporter tells me everything about this guy that pushed a lady down the stairs, except what Judge Jeanine just mentioned. Play it.
The suspect is described as being 18 to 25 years old and approximately 5'8". He was last seen wearing all black and a red hoodie underneath his black jacket, as well as wearing a black mask. I know that's not the best description out there, but that is what
police have. He's got a black mask, he's got a black hoodie, he's got black shoes, but they never say he's black.
Yeah. You know what? They're afraid to say it. Look, that is part of the identification process. That is, if you're trying to find this guy, you've got to identify him. I don't know if I'm looking for an Asian, a black, a white, a Puerto Rican, an Arab. I mean, look, I mean, it is the fact that these people are afraid of their own shadows to not identify. Look, I'm not asking you to identify him, but once you identify him, damn it, identify him.
Gorgeous. That was such a great segment. Jeanine, I love you. Really, thank you
love
so
you
much.
More. Oh, all right, man. See you. Bye.
So good. Judge Jeanine Pirro, 11 a.m. on Sundays here on ABC, The 5 every afternoon on Fox News. She is a treasure.